are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a weekly wink. It's hard for me not to say Winky Wednesday. It is a weekly wink episode on this Tuesday edition of the program. My guest, Nick Winkler, today will be on here in just one moment. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On 49ers and all the podcasts on the network. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail. Those are the places, the best spots to get those mailbag questions in, and we will be dipping into the mailbag shortly with today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, buddy. You know, I was recovering from yesterday. It was a brutal game to watch. It was just more of the same, man. Injuries and, you know, bad play calling and poor execution by the quarterback and, you know, the defense giving up too many yards late. And it all started, I don't know if you noticed this, but opening play, third down, wasted timeout. And then the next play, sack on Beathard. It's like, okay, yeah, this is going to be one of those days. Got it.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard yesterday's show, but I did bring up that first drive. And
you could tell
Kyle Shanahan was already pissed off.
Yeah, that's he was.
That's his permanent
look now.
You wasted
time out on that, and then that's the play you get?
Right, and that's the result of, fixing it. It's like, well, you might as well not have fixed it and wasted the timeout if that's going to be the result. And, so I was driving back from the San Luis Obispo area, and I couldn't get the game early, so I missed the first half on the radio. Mm-hmm. And the game I was listening to, they broke in and were like, you know, saying the scores around the league, and then they're like, 49ers 3, Cardinals 2. I was like, oh, God, I can't wait to go home and watch the replay of this game. A 3-2 halftime score. And I guess the 49ers did tack on another field goal before the half. But, that's what it looked like. It was a 5-2 game the first half.
What was it, 17 passing yards in the first half for the 49ers? I mean, and I'm talking about more of the same, too. I had to look at the clock and hit pause on my DVR because I'm like, oh, there's Breida limping off the field. Oh, 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Yep, that's about right. He came back, of course, but man, just it's the same story every single week with these 49ers, man. It's brutal.
There is some deja vu. This week, at least they won the turnover battle, but still lost the game. So that was like, well, what the hell? All these other games, it was so obvious that was the reason you lost. It wasn't this time. And then they just lost it everywhere else instead. And
were you as shocked as I was when Tart had that interception? It was just like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
A pick?
That fumble didn't bounce out of bounds. And you're like, what's going on? It's destiny. And the 49ers at that point had a lead. And you're like, okay, they're just going to tack it on and blow out the Cardinals on the road. Okay, here we go. And it instantly just stopped. There was that. So it was that goal line or that red zone opportunity for the 49ers. That was where you realized, oh, geez, what's going on? You can't let this team stay in it. You got to pound it down their throat here. You got to win the game when you can. It's game over if they score right there or score a touchdown. Instead, they got to settle for three.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And it's just more of the same, man. What's funny is that we sometimes, you know, on this podcast, we try to look at the bright points and we try to sugarcoat things and like, let's look at the positive for a minute. And you notice on the telecast too, they did that. They compared Beathard's first nine starts to Kirk Cousins' first nine starts. They're like, look, they were both bad.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. Anytime I watch a game that's kind of a blowout and it's really hard for the broadcast team, and most of them do a great job, and there will be like a play that's like a mediocre play, and then they start freaking out about it, you know, because they have to sell the game that they're broadcasting, and especially those national broadcasters who aren't, you know, it's not like the radio side where you see the team every week. They're trying to keep, you know, the people in front of the advertisers on these Fox broadcasts or CBS broadcasts. And so they have to act like it's a great play and a great game, even though they know it's a snoozer. And then as soon as legally they can break away from those games, they do it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, let's jump over to that Seattle LA game.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. No, man, it was rough. And I mean, how many sacks did they give up on third down also on offense? It was hard to watch. As fans, we watch them all, right? We watch all those snaps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can learn some stuff from it. The 49ers are in learning mode. And I think maybe they listen to the podcast and are implementing the Peacock plan because there's some trade
like
rumors as
plan.
Well. Yeah. the trade rumors, and I left some room. I left some wiggle room in the Peacock plan. It's early, you know. We haven't done all the scouting for the draft and stuff like that, so I don't want to lock in like only three players in the first three rounds or something like that. But there's a lot of directions you can go with this thing, but it has to start this week, and it has to start with, you know, getting a couple of, even if they're late round picks, back. And addition by subtraction, not only you get some picks to work with, and the 49ers have been better picking late than early in the last almost 10 years now. But I guess not 10 years, more like since about 2012 or so.
Yeah, and, yeah. Well, then 3 years before that, you know, there were 6 or 7 years there picking towards the top.
Yeah, and somebody brought up today on Twitter about the York. Since the Yorks owned the team, they've only had like 5 winning seasons.
That's not good.
That's not great.
No, you can't like that as a 49er fan. And just when you think, you know, coming into the season, like, oh, they're going to get things going in the right direction, it's like, oh, here we are, 1-7, cool.
That's why this one hurts a little more, because of the expectations coming in, and the rug was pulled out from a lot of fans who were like, all right, we're going to the playoffs. Let's do this, Jimmy G. We are rolling. And then the stark contrast and sort of like the color runs from your face when you're a 49ers fan watching the team right now, and you're thinking, this is a really bad team.
Yeah, it's kind of like a boxing match. It was like right before the season started, we took a shot right to the nose when McKinnon went down. It's like, okay, we're stunned a little bit, but we're all right. We're all right. We're going to battle through this. And then Jimmy G went down. It was just like, oh, that's the gut punch that like keels you over.
Absolutely. So,
I think, and now it's like, do you just, let's lose the rest of the games, right? I mean, you don't want to see these guys go out there and just phone it in. But at the same time, it's like, where is this team going?
I mean, there are some arguments for not losing the rest of the games.
I want to hear that.
But I think there are more arguments for losing the rest of the games.
Because we had this same conversation last season when Garoppolo took over, and we're like, yeah, why not just win the rest of these games, take the momentum into next season? And, well, that didn't work out.
Right. So maybe the opposite. Maybe lower those expectations, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, guess who's here? It's the 49ers. Now they're just a year late.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like it's the wink plan at this point. We got the Peacock plan. Here's the wink plan. It's just, there's just one thing to it. It's just, you know, keep going out there doing the same thing you're doing, because it's, you know, 1-7. I mean, enough said. You got the Raiders. They're not a good football team. That's a winnable game. They won't win it. And then you got the Giants, another very easy winnable game. That game I might actually win. And then you go into the bye, and then after the bye, it doesn't look too easy.
If this next Thursday night game wasn't like the Bay Area rivalry thing, it would probably be by far, and it still might be, the worst game on the NFL schedule for the entire season.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. And what sucks too is that like the next two games are against two teams that they're going to be battling for that first pick in the next year's draft for. So, and it's like, these aren't the guys you want to beat.
It was super sad kind of to watch the 49ers lose, and to lose both games against the Cardinals, who was one of the teams where you're like, okay, well, at least the 49ers are definitely better than the Cardinals. Then they lose both of those.
At least
can
win that home game.
But for like that's the best thing you could do, is lose to the bad team. Like if you want to beat a team, beat the good team at the end of the year.
Beat the Rams in week 17.
Don't beat the team that in turn jumps you in the draft because you beat them, so you give them a win and you a loss. So the 49ers can still win a couple games down the stretch and be in a good position for the draft, but the Giants and the Raiders are probably not the teams that you want the 49ers to beat if you had to choose two teams to beat the rest of the way, but they're the two easiest teams for the 49ers to beat, and if they don't beat them, they probably won't beat anybody.
It's one of those times of year where it's like, man, thank goodness the Dodgers lost the World Series. Right? I mean, it's just not a whole lot else going on right now.
I am 100% with you on that. I am 100% with you on that. And there's a Dodgers fan in the house, so I don't want to continue speaking on that at the moment.
Right, right. You could have just let me have that. She probably can't even hear it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't even say the D word.
She usually tries very
while.
Hard to not listen when I'm recording the podcast at home. And so, yeah. We'll stop that.
I had a
talk
"Let's
right
go
now.
Red Sox" chant going a few times in my house.
Oh yeah, it's still too soon in this household.
I get it.
Yeah, let's take a little break and then let's start dipping into that mailbag.
Sounds good.
And if you would like to get to the game this week, I've got a place to go for all of your ticket needs. That is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans experience that will last a lifetime with Vivid Seats. And of course, a special offer for Locked On Podcast Network listeners. Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play to download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more for new customers of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater tickets and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter promo code LOCKEDON for that special offer for new customers. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Okay, let's start with some emails here. This is an interesting question from Anthony. He says, circling back to this, Arizona came to play. Their offense was new, so no one knew exactly what to expect. And that's a good point there. I didn't think about that angle with the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, the Byron Leftwich action, yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald owns the 49ers again. Larry Fitzgerald would catch a touchdown against the 49ers, I think, if he was 60 years old. Right.
He should come back and just play two games a year.
I tell you what, I think a better game to watch would have been like Larry Fitzgerald on one side, Jerry Rice on the other side, and like let's just let Hall of Famers go to battle.
I think that would have been really cool. Yeah, like it could what if it's like, you know, I remember Roger Clemens towards the end of his career, he like wouldn't travel with the team and only start home games and stuff. It could be like that for Larry Fitzgerald. Like he just signs a 10-year contract and he only plays two games a year against the 49ers.
I love that.
Yeah, as a Cardinal fan, I would want it.
And so, Anthony, anyways, to finish his email, he says, I can't wait for him to retire. I feel the opposite about Larry Fitzgerald.
I hope he plays.
I hope he plays till he's 50.
I hate that it's against the Niners. He plays so well against them, but yeah, he's a marvel.
Maybe there's a nice little scenario where he goes home because Minnesota is where he came from. Maybe he goes to the Vikings and finishes off there.
You think so? I think he'll be a Cardinal.
I think
he will
too, but that's probably the one place if he did play a little bit longer. Yeah. Maybe try to get himself a ring because they're good right now.
I can see that.
Yeah, maybe something like that. But he says, I think we're the worst team in the league. CJ Beathard holds onto the ball for too long. No playmakers. I'm going to go cry and drink now. but the title of this email is, are we worse than Tom Sula or Erickson 49ers?
Yikes. I don't think... Oh, man, that's tough to say.
I'll throw this out there. I think the Tom Sula 49ers would beat this 49ers, but...
Yeah, but the Erickson?
Not the Erickson. No, yeah, probably not the Erickson team. 49ers. Because the Erickson 49ers were bad before Erickson and were still bad after. The Tom Sula 49ers were a team that was rolling previously. And still had a lot of good players on the team, but they were crumbling. You know, they were on the way down. I think this 49ers team is on the way up, but being injured the way they are, there's just more players on that Tom Sula team, and they had already played together. And so I think they would have won over this team the way it's currently constructed. But I would rather be this current 2018 49ers team than the Tom Sula team because we know where that team was going, and this team should be headed in the opposite direction going in an upward trajectory, right?
Yeah, you know, I was actually playing a board game with my daughter the other day called Chutes and Ladders, and this really reminds me of that because it's like you keep going up, 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 and then you hit that slide and you're right back at the beginning because I feel like that's what keeps happening with the 49ers. Like they'll build a little bit of momentum, they'll find something good, and then all the way back down, be it injury or a penalty or, you know, the things that just keep shooting themselves in the foot.
I totally agree, and I'm not at that stage to play Chutes and Ladders with Leo yet, but I remember playing
when I was
a kid. I remember playing that, and that was a fun game. Yeah,
it's fun except when you hit that lat or that shoot.
Yeah,
yeah. And you get all the way down. It's like, oh man, did I really have to roll a four?
Right. We thought the 49ers were on that ladder, and they rolled something and hit that shoot instead in 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
That is the new theme of the season: Chutes and Ladders.
I like that.
Much more shoots.
I think I was going to say for the DVD, the season-ending yearbook DVD. Miscommunication would be a good name.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
What was the Beastie
You might
Boys?
Even just want to call it penalties. I mean, there's so many.
Shooting self in foot. Self-inflicted wound.
Oh, man. We could go on and on.
What was the Beastie Boys record? Ill Communication? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be the theme music for this 49ers team.
It's going to be that kind of party.
Yeah. let's go to Tyrone via email. He said, what's up, BP? Just want to know your thoughts on trading for Adoree Jackson if the Titans were interested. I haven't heard that one. Have you heard that name?
Young, no, that's the first time I've heard
player.
That.
I don't know if Tyrone just pulled that out of his nether region or not, but he would be the type of player you should be interested in, a young player that would be with the team for a while. I haven't heard that name be thrown around. I think he's probably not available, I would guess. A second-year athletic cornerback.
Right, they probably still have him for another 2 years under that rookie contract, right?
But the bottom line with this email from Tyrone is he's annoyed with the cornerbacks. He wants a true upgrade at the cornerback position. And I talked about this on the Peacock Plan show. So if the 49ers back-to-back years can't draft third-round corners that can come in and play, do you trust them to draft a first-round corner?
Well, I mean, did you watch any of that Saints-Vikings game last night?
I did not see any of that one.
Because Marcus Lattimore is legit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy that they passed on, you know? I mean, there was a guy right there that they could have had.
No, that's very true. But I think, this is the thing when I go back to with the scheme, is the scheme is supposed to be like, okay, you don't need that because like Richard Sherman went to a different scheme. He's only played in this scheme his entire career. He's built for it. He's perfect for it. If he went to a scheme, you've seen him run. Like, he's not going to shadow a guy and just play man all game. He would get destroyed in the wrong scheme because this is built for that sort of a player. You got to be smart. You're playing a lot of zone. You're playing sort of a concept where you're passing the receivers off inside, so you only need to cover man on those out routes or the deep routes or follow him through the post, you know. And if he cuts inside, that's the teeth of the defense, and the linebackers are rangy, and they're helping you out there. You've got a safety in the middle of the field helping you out deep there. And if you just had to shadow somebody like Patrick Peterson does, Richard Sherman would get killed, especially at this stage in his career. But so that's the point of this defense, is you don't need a top five draft pick at cornerback. You need a smart cornerback who's long, who can press a little bit, and who's tough to get the ball over his head down the boundary.
And do you think these guys just need more time, or do you think maybe they were just poorly scouted and they're not the right guys for the scheme?
It's a chicken or the egg argument. I'm not sure if the 49ers are bad at developing talented players or if they just drafted the wrong guys. And so to me, it's like, okay, if the cornerback position with all the assets, they've drafted at least three corners the last 2 years. Counting DJ Reed. So if none of those guys can play, then you're either bad at developing or bad at drafting. Just sign your average, whatever, veteran free agent in the offseason, because you know at least that guy already knows how to play football.
Yeah. And then that's a good point. He's seen the speed of the NFL.
Yeah. And then because Tarvarius Moore, I could see he was raw and he was sort of a project, so I could see him not quite being ready. But Akella Witherspoon was the guy who was already supposed to be ready this year, and they have to know whether he's going to be ready next year or not. And if he's not, then I think you go the veteran route, and then that way you can spend that first round pick on the pass rush that you absolutely need, because there's more likely someone who could just go out there, be a number two corner, play corner for you in free agency, than there is someone who's going to be someone who could be a difference maker rushing the passer, which is what the 49ers even need more. And then those things would help each other out. So that the fastest way to being good, veteran corner in the offseason, draft some mean pass rushers. That's why that was part of my plan. Rather than drafting the corner early, now where's your pass rushers, and you're just chasing your own tail and spending all these resources on corner, and maybe they don't even know how to develop the young guys.
Yeah, you know, there was a few years ago where the Jaguars weren't any good at all. And then they went out and they spent a bunch of money in free agency on that defense and overspent on a lot of guys. And look what's happened to them since.
The Rams,
man,
too.
I know it doesn't always. The Rams, too. You're exactly right. It doesn't happen all the time. Like, there's, you know, it's not always the way to success. But, like, the way they're doing it right now is not working. So, yeah, there's a ton of money that they've got in the cap that they can spend next year. So, let's spend it. Bring in some big guys.
I agree 100% with that.
I think that they'll get a lot of frustrated fans if they don't do that in the offseason based on, well, this was our plan, this is what we're going to do. And everyone's like, all right, trust the process. We're going to trust it. And it didn't work.
Well, at some point, there's self-preservation. So
yeah, that too.
If they lose again next year, then jobs are being lost.
Yeah, so why would you try to save money for the following season if you're not even going to be the guy there making the decisions on who to bring in? Like,
a long-term rebuild, building it right, building it to sustain, that stuff all makes sense, and it's great until you lose for two straight seasons.
Yep.
And then there has to be some urgency. And they
especially
don't,
when there are expectations.
Right, and they don't have to spend stupid and spend on everybody. They just have to target the right spots, really going to make a huge difference. And right now, pass rush, at least one cornerback, I think that's where you spend all of your free agent money. And then you
safety
draft the rest
as well.
Of the
I mean, Colbert, well, Tart, these guys can't even stay on the field.
Especially, I mean, and I don't know how many safeties out there are going to make a huge difference for the 49ers, but they need some depth there. That's been pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. So multiple bodies, but Earl Thomas is the one. That's probably the first phone call you make in free agency is Earl Thomas. Be like, look,
I think you're
let's
right.
go. And you're probably like, hey, hey, Sherm, get on the horn right now. You know, it's not even, it's not even,
guy, right?
It's not even Halloween, but I'd be surprised if Sherman hasn't already made a call to Earl Thomas. Be like, hey, it's pretty nice over here in the Bay Area. Weather's good.
How's the rain?
You get to play against the Seahawks twice a year.
Yeah. We want to go back home and beat up on some of the coaches that weren't so happy with you.
Exactly.
I love it.
All right. Let's take a quick break and then finish up this mailbag.
Cool.
Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes? That one's mind-blowing to me, how fast these kids, and my son in particular, grows out of all of his clothes. They just outgrow them in a few months, or faster, in the case of little Leo. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds. Sizes, brands, everything. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year, so shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store, and you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Carter's, Nike, Lululemon, J.Crew, Gap, all the best brands at swap.com. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And that special offer I talked about, get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, find new deals every day at swap.com's homepage. Okay, I want to do one more email here. This is from Derek. He said, what's going on with DJ Jones? He had a really good preseason, yet hasn't been active at all this season. What's going on? So let's see. DJ Jones, he has been active. He was active early, and then lately he has not been active. And I think part of that is depth. Part of that is, and Earl Mitchell's another guy, like I mentioned before, part of the Peacock plan. Listen, I don't think Earl Mitchell's tradable at this point. He might be, though, a team that's looking for sort of a one technique, a little nose tackle. But DJ Jones might already be better, but the coaching staff loves Earl Mitchell. He's the veteran, and they're just not going to take him off the field. And then they like Sheldon Day playing the backup role because you don't need – the teams aren't in base defenses enough to need multiple nose tackles on a team. So the second nose tackle has to be able to do some other things like Sheldon Day can. So I think that's why DJ Jones hasn't been active, similar to Julian Taylor. It's just a numbers game. And DJ Jones deserves to be active. Again, it's just like getting more reps for Pettis over Garcon and Richie James over Garcon and Solomon Thomas getting more reps over Eric Armstead if you traded him. There's certain positions they have a lot of guys in, and so that's where they should trade from. And so we could see the young guys, filter those guys in, know who you have there, because half of these guys are going to be as good or better anyway, I think.
Yeah, I mean, now's like the perfect time to start evaluating your talent. You put them in a game where, you know, see how they handle the speed of the NFL. And real quick, before we move on from that D-line, how about Ronald Blair coming through again?
Yes.
You know, having another solid game.
Yeah, Ronald Blair has been awesome. And I liked the Ronald Blair pick from the beginning. And I don't think he's ever going to be a stud player, but he's good rotational player. And it's funny that their best edge guy is another one of those weirdly built 280.
It's huge.
6'2", 280. And yeah. He's their best edge guy.
Yeah. No, he's playing well, man. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, Armstead, I think he got a sack in the game. But other than that, he wasn't really around.
Yep. Absolutely.
Once again.
Marsh. I feel like I crush Marsh too much on this podcast because it's sort of like I said yesterday with C.J. Beathard. It's not C.J. Beathard's fault he was overdrafted in the third round.
Sure.
It's not Solomon Thomas's fault he was overdrafted number three overall. It's not Cassius Marsh's fault that the team just completely put a blind eye to the pass rush position, didn't bring anybody better than him because he should be that bottom of the roster rotational guy. And he's being asked to do more, but every time he celebrates, there was the safety and he's like doing his karate kick in the end zone while the rest of his teammates, as they should be, are trying to jump on this fumble.
And right.
He's not even paying attention. He's celebrating off, looking at the crowd, doing a karate kick. I'm like, dude, your job is like hanging by
situational awareness, man. Know what's happening.
The ball is loose. Maybe it was an incomplete pass. Maybe it wasn't.
You could have got a touchdown instead of a safety.
You should be jumping on that football right now, not karate kick it in the air.
Yeah, it's not about me, man. It's about team.
That's right. That's absolutely right. But we're going to see a lot less of Cassius Marsh probably next year. And no offense to Cassius Marsh, and you know, whatever. There's a lot of,
again, not his fault.
Yeah, exactly. He's being asked to do too much.
Right. But,
it's just, it's more for every time he celebrates, it reminds me of that. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Yep.
Thanks. So here we are, halfway point of the season. What's your grade for the 49ers? It can't be passing.
Wait, what's the question?
We're halfway through the season, right? Yeah. 8 games. That's it. We're halfway through. What's your grade on the 49ers season?
Just one letter grade for the 49ers in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, you could use pluses or minuses, but yeah.
I don't need a plus or a minus. It's a straight up F.
Straight up?
Oh, yeah.
There's no promise there. There's no upside.
If we went around, even in week two, when we were at the, by the way, how many games have the 49ers won this year?
The one that we were at.
Yeah, okay.
That was weird. They should invite us to games.
Yeah, they should. You know what? They should. If we went around,
and they almost lost that one too. Let's be real.
No, that was a good game. That was close. If we went around and interviewed fans and we said, hey, halfway season, week 8, 49ers are 1-7. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
We'd have probably got punched in the face multiple times. Right.
Or just walk away. Just like walk away.
Or, you know, you see fans and everyone's excited, and that's obviously the most pro vibe you could have for a team is at a tailgate before the home football game, right? So if we went around and people were like, hey, what's going on, man? 49ers. Like, yeah, dude, they're going to be 1-7 halfway through the season. Like, people would get mad.
Then
like,
we would have got punched.
Legit mad.
Like, if at the game we were at week two, we're like, this is going to be their only win heading into the halfway point of the season.
Yep. Hey, enjoy it, guys. Only win of the year right here.
Yeah, we would have made a lot of enemies.
Yeah,
that day.
Absolutely. But yet here we are. So I it can't be anything better than an F, right?
It can't be.
I mean,
maybe an F plus.
Okay, if you're factoring you're factoring in injuries. You lose Garoppolo, but
that's where
still,
it's brutal because that started before the season even began.
Yeah, well, the running back thing did.
Yeah,
but I'm running back agnostic, so I don't even care about that. The quarterback
and I'm not,
is massive,
and I think that made a big difference in that offense.
I think it did. Also. So here's, let's go this way with it.
Who had Alfred Morris on this football team? Who had Raheem Mostert actually getting some carries in a football game? Nobody.
But hold on. So if you are constructing a football team and you're like, okay, we're going to sign Minnesota's backup running back, but if we lose him, our season is done. You know, come on.
There were some
major problems on this team if Jerick McKinnon was something that you can't overcome. The loss.
Yeah, it wasn't the end of the season. It was just a big, like I said, it was the punch in the face of like, okay, we're still standing. We're all right, but it's a little hazy. Here we go.
Yeah.
We got Breida. He showed signs.
Do you, so. But
now Breida can't stay on the field. So he, you know.
And it's unfortunate because Breida's a monster.
He
runs.
He's explosive. His vision. I mean, he definitely looks like a good NFL running back. He just can't stay out there.
And you can tell he's running with confidence versus when he showed up last year early in the season. And even last year, I remember mentioning on the podcast at the end of the year, he was really running with confidence, and he wasn't as much early on in the season. He could be just a straight stud. He could be the 49ers' number one back easily, but he's just not built for it. And so it looks like he's going to have to be that change-up guy and be the second running back long-term because he's not going to be healthy, unfortunately, and you know, unless something just changes and all of a sudden his ankle gets better and he's able to absorb hits better somehow. But yeah, it's just it's rough because he's awesome, and he's been so fun to watch.
Yeah, no doubt.
So what's your grade then?
F plus.
Oh, okay. Not
because I'm gonna add the plus on there just because they got the one win. You know, they're not a winless team. You can even squeak into the D minus range if you really look at what they've had to deal with. You said factor in the injuries. So you do that, you lose your starting quarterback, the franchise, the guy you built everything around essentially. And you know, you lost Goodwin for a few games early. Breida's been in and out. You know, you lost Foster for a couple games. You lost both of your starting safeties early. Like, it's been constant. There's always been, you know, Pierre Garçon, where's he been? You know, there's just a lot of pieces that have been missing from this football team. And you know, not all of those are their fault. The penalties, those are their fault. Those are mental mistakes. They're making a lot of those. You know, they're the lack of turnovers, the turnovers on offense. There's a lot of bad things for this football team. Not all their fault. Not all completely their fault. So you got to show at least a little bit for the effort. I'm going to switch. I'm going to go D minus.
The one reason why I don't think it should be, the loss of Garoppolo is obviously terrible, but like, let's say the 2017 Packers, they went 7-9 losing Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
And he, I think he, I don't remember how many games he played, but he might have played a few more than Garoppolo did. But you're talking about you can't beat the worst team in the league right now.
Oh, no, they probably are the worst team.
Right. So that's even, there's way bigger problems than even they, oh, we lost Garoppolo, this is going to be a tough season. Like, there was way more problems coming in than anybody realized.
There's also some positives, too. I mean, McGlinchey's playing really well. Mm-hmm. You know, you got, you know, I mean, Sherman on defense is locking down one side when he's out there. I mean, there's definitely some bright points here. Fred Warner, you know, he's getting a lot of reps out there. He has flashes of wow, this guy could be the future here. I mentioned Blair. You know, there's DeForest Buckner's playing extremely well. There's a lot of good things that are happening on this football team, too, that are, you know, kind of getting swept under the rug because of all the bad stuff that's kind of just, you know, taking over and is being shown full light. And don't get me wrong, D-minus is still failing. They're still not passing. You got to get up into that C range.
Right. C's did get degrees, not D-minuses.
Yeah, exactly. So they're definitely still failing on the season sitting at 1-7. But there's definitely a few things in there, I think, that, you know, 49er fans can hang their hats on and say, this is something that I actually enjoy watching.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. And that's a great way to end this podcast, because there is things to build on. There's things you can take away. And you can fix the other problems. Garoppolo comes back next year. You can fix the deficiencies. You've learned a lot about your football team now. And the last 8 games, you should learn even more about, especially the young players on your football team. And that's the positive going into 2019. And they could still be a very good team in 2019. And they just got to follow the Peacock plan.
Yeah, I'm on board with the Peacock plan. Mix in the Wink plan, though, as well. Remember, no more wins.
There's only one bullet point on the Wink plan.
That's it. Oh, I mean, you could start with the Peacock plan, and then you roll into the Wink plan.
You know when you sign someone's yearbook? And you're like, don't ever change. That's the Wink plan right now. Like, I'm never going to call you after senior year, but don't ever
change. Call me. Phone number's in there. Don't change. It was a great summer.
I'm going to dot the I with a heart.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm into that.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Nick, thanks for joining me as always.
My pleasure, bud.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a little crossover episode right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.